Good morning, church.
Our reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, and it reads thus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you the good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I can never pronounce that word. In a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That's it. Amen.
I'm just going to type this down a little bit. Thanks, Mary. It's lovely to be back here with you, coming back after being here for a couple of weeks in late October and early November. It feels a little bit like another family for us, which is lovely. It's nice to have that vibe. And a great day to be here with you, a great time of year to be with you again, 2 days before Christmas. Who's ready? Are we ready for Christmas? People excited? Absolutely. I'm sure the kids are excited at the very least, and hopefully the parents aren't too stressed out, which, we don't want to get into that. Many of us will have finished off work for a little bit if we're working or have a few days off or whatever, and of course school's out and all of that sort of stuff that goes with that. And of course by now all your Christmas shopping's done, right? I mean, nobody would have left that till tomorrow, till Christmas Eve, I'm sure. I think the crowds in the shops tomorrow might prove me wrong on that one. But as we approach Christmas again this year, it's just been my sense for a while now that there is a whole lot of anticipation and expectation in our wider communities as the Christmas season comes on each year. And I think probably there was a sense of that with everybody gathering for carols the other day. You get a whole lot of people in from the community, and there's just something, there's kind of this buzz for people out in the wider community at Christmas time. And I know for some people, Christmas can be a difficult season for a whole lot of different reasons. And that might be the case, for you even. And yet my observation, and I've particularly noticed it this year in the place where I've been working, is, and just my perception is that there's still this generally hopeful sense in the community, in the wider community, as we approach Christmas, at what Christmas might bring to them. And that's apart from maybe a Christmas party or two and lots of lights and some food that people share and all of the other things that go on. There just seems to be more this general sense of hoping, expectation, that hangs around in the lead up to Christmas. I don't know if you've noticed that. Anybody noticed that along the way? Yeah, you can see that in people. You know, it's like, it's going to be great. So where does that come from, I wonder? Where does that come from? I reckon it taps into something for us, the whole idea of Christmas. There's something in us as humans that just knows that this brilliant, wonderful story of Christ's coming is somehow good, even if people aren't really sure what the story's all about, or there's only a really vague connection for them with what Christmas is really all about. There's just something in the nativity and people just getting something in touch with that that fires up imaginations and gets people's hopes up at this time of year. And I think that's partly a result of living in our very post-Christian society, where many people have moved on from Christianity, or we've lost some of that sense in our community. And it's like we have lost something, and we're not really sure what we've lost. I'm talking about the wider community here, but we really kind of want to get it back somehow. We want to find it again. And at this time of year, it's as if there's some whispers and some echoes of what we might have lost that we're hoping to get a hold of again. You know, perhaps I'm going to find it this year. Perhaps I'm going to find it this time. And yet I reckon for many people, the reality is that those hopes and expectations are often disappointed until next year. Why is that, I wonder? Why is that? Why this kind of build-up of anticipation and then somewhat disappointment for many people? Well, I'm just going to ask us to kind of park those thoughts aside for a little bit. We're going to come back to them in a little while. But before we move on, I just want to pray for us. I know Chris has already prayed for me speaking, but I just want to ask the Lord right now to help us to just hone in on this, what we're talking about today. Can we do that? Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for the songs that we've already sung. The message that went out even at Carol's the other night into the community. We thank you for your love and for your grace. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, right here with us this morning. And so we ask that in the midst of preparations for Christmas, just 2 days out, that we can just have peace and a calm and a sense of presence in this place right now, that we might hear from you, you speaking over us some more, maybe a new aspect of the Christmas story, your brilliant story for people. Help our ears to be open, our eyes to be open, to hear and see what you might have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you've been preparing for Christmas here at West Ryde for 2018, and I've been kind of listening in a little bit to some of the messages along the way and all. I know that you've been looking at some brilliant key words that are weaved into the Christmas story, and they're up for us on the banners around us. You've talked about hope and peace and love, and there's one left. What are we talking about this morning? Joy, exactly. We sang that hymn, Joy to the World, Joy, Unspeakable Joy. That's what we're focused in on this morning. And like many of us here, we might have sung those words, joy to the world, many times over the years, and we can kind of tell from the flavour of that carol even and the words around it that joy is something really good. It's sort of something that wells up in us. It's kind of a really up word, isn't it? It's a happy word. It's a good and positive word. Just know that that's a good thing to be. Joy-filled is a good thing to be. And you know, in our world, in our country, and in our city of Sydney, which we currently experience, you know, record numbers of people suffering anxiety and depression and not so healthy mental health along the way, we need to hear more of these sorts of words, don't we? We need to hear them along the way. These words are good news. But they're only good news if they're based in something solid, if they're based in something firm. Otherwise, they're just words. Hopeful words, perhaps, but just words. And as you've been already exploring this month, there's a reason that these words are connected to Christmas. Because Christmas is God's ultimate good news story for people who are really hungry for good news. Even when they haven't really even been able to realise what that might look like just yet, people are hungry for good news. So joy, whoops, there we go, joy, that's the one we wanted. What is it really? Likely we've all experienced joy at one time or another. We kind of know that if we've experienced it along the way. But what is it actually? What is it actually? Is it just another word for happiness? And at this time of year we just swap out happiness and stick joy in instead, and it's kind of interchangeable like that. Well, as it turns out, the two words are somewhat connected, but they're not. There's similarities, but they're not the same. And joy is a little harder to nail down. Joy is a state of great happiness or of delight, but probably more so than happiness, joy is often really exuberant and expressed. It's a kind of an exhilaration of our spirits. So it's often outwardly expressed. It's sometimes kind of hard for us to hold in. And if we are experiencing joy ourselves and people are around us, they kind of realize that something's going on for us, that joy is in the room there somewhere. But then there can also be a quiet sense of joy within us. Just a quiet joy that just sits with us. But you know, like happiness, if you pursue it, if you try to make joy happen, like happiness, it doesn't necessarily happen. You can't kind of make joy happen in your life. If you try that, it just kind of slips between your fingers. Instead, it's sort of almost like a byproduct, something that comes out of other stuff that's going on in your life, other stuff that's going on for you, maybe the people that you're with or what you are centered in or what's happening in your life. It just kind of sneaks up on you sometimes. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, in fact, it's the title of one of his books, when he went from atheism to a faith in Christ. And the title of his book is Surprised by Joy. It kind of snuck up on him. He was surprised by joy. And that's kind of what joy can be like. Just occasionally you'll just find yourself thinking, well, I'm really full of joy right now. I don't really know how that happened, but there it is. So yeah, it's a little bit hard to grab hold of. But when you know it, when you're experiencing it, you know all about it. It's great. But I just want to go back to happiness for a moment, because there's something that I came across just in the last little while, and because happiness is somewhat related, there's some things that cross over here. Do you know, if you type into Google, you know, like the Google search engine, how to be, that phrase, how to be, as in how to be something, do you know what the second most popular hit would be if you did that? Has anybody done this? It's happy. How to be happy is the second most popular search if you just type in how to be. So people are desperately wanting and they're desperately seeking how to be happy and to know joy and those sorts of things in their life. As of last year, there were about 74 of those TED Talks based around happiness. And there's all these self-help books and articles and all that sort of stuff around the place. We like to be happy, or at least to be seen to be happy. And in our social media-soaked world, there's no shortage of people who are more than happy, excuse the pun, more than happy to show you what's going on in their lives and how their lives are full of, you know, happy and how things are, you know, they're living happy, worthwhile lives. And yet, studies show that our common response when we see all those wonderful posts from our friends and families can actually have the opposite effect on us. Can take us down. Strangely enough, we can feel less happy, less contented, and less joy-filled when we compare us there in our houses doing our washing, or putting the garbage out, or cleaning the toilet, when our friends are having a wonderful holiday in Tahiti with all the photos and, you know, the beach scenes and all of that sort of stuff. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that that might make you feel a little bit less joy-filled or a little bit less contented? And it just illustrates for us one of the things that is a danger for us in seeking to know joy in our lives. And that is the danger of comparison, particularly in our very connected world that we live in now, the reality of that. So just take care. Take care. There are some extra challenges out there as we seek to find happiness or to experience joy in our lives. Comparison can be one of the joy stealers in our lives. So just be aware of that. So how do we position ourselves? I've already said we can't make ourselves feel joy, but how do we position ourselves? How do we put ourselves in places where we might know and experience joy in our lives? Well, over the last week or two, I knew that this message was coming up, so I decided to do a little bit of digging. So I went to the scriptures and I dug into joy, basically. And did you know, by my count, and this might not be very accurate, but by my count, there are over 400 references to joy or joyful or rejoicing in the scriptures. So there's a lot there. So we might be onto something here as far as finding out what that how to get into that place and how to be associated with joy. So I thought, well, maybe can we find some themes in that? Are there some themes in scriptures that are associated with joy? So I just want to share with you some of the things that I found in that. In the Old Testament scriptures, joy comes often as part of celebration. You often see joy coming out when the people are having a celebration of something. It sometimes comes in feasting or whatever. Sometimes joy shouts or sings or is involved with music somehow. And we know that. Some of us really connect with music and we sing songs like that and we experience joy. We can kind of get with that. Nature itself can be joyful, according to the scriptures. We read in the Psalms and in other places as well. But a couple of examples. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, Psalm 96. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. And yes, it's poetic language. I know that rivers don't actually have hands that they can clap, but you kind of get the sense of creation singing or clapping in joy in celebration of the Creator. It's a great picture. So nature celebrates the Creator. Joy is associated at times with feasting and abundance, and yes, with happiness. That's they're kind of mentioned together again. Again, they're associated, but not the same thing. We read that angels know and express joy. Then if we move into the New Testament, we find that joy comes in hearing the good news. When we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming. We're going to go back to that in a minute. Joy is there when we find something of great value. So you hear Jesus' parables when the guy is going all around the world searching for the pearl of great price. And when he finds it, what does he experience? He experiences joy because he's found something of great value, something he's searched for all his life. He's found it. He experiences joy. Jesus talking about finding the kingdom of God. Joy comes through the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul talks about in his letter to the Galatians. And along with peace, which David mentioned the other week, and love, which Chris mentioned the other week, first three in Galatians, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Joy is in there. But more surprisingly, perhaps, joy is found in some unexpected places as well. Apparently, again from Scripture, we can know joy even in the midst of great pain. Some of us know that because we've experienced it. Joy can come out of a time of mourning. We are to consider it pure joy, apparently, in the words of James, whenever we face trials of many kinds. And then in the words of Jesus himself, we are blessed, we can rejoice and be glad when people insult us or persecute us or falsely say all kinds of evil against us because of him, because of Jesus. Now those last few kind of mess with my concept of joy a little. Maybe they do for you as well. How does that work? How does that work? But seeing those helps us to understand why joy isn't just another word for happiness. There's some differences there. There's something about joy that is deep and resilient and not so dependent on our current circumstances in the way that happiness can seem to be a lot of the time. So how does that work? How can that be? How can we know joy in difficult circumstances? Well, another really key thing that I found as I was digging in Scripture was that joy is often tied up in Scripture with God's presence, or with remembering or recalling things that God has done, or in meditating, in dwelling on things that he has said in his word. Along the way. Our joy is often found in those places and those spaces where we have a real sense of being with God, knowing his presence, his closeness in our lives. In fact, the same applies for hope and peace and love as well. All four of these words have a powerful connection together with being close to God, being in God's presence. They connect with the Christmas story for reasons we're going to talk about in a moment. But this sense of God being near certainly has an association with joy. Now, in part, I reckon this is pretty closely connected with knowing our real identity that we explored a month or so ago here. That whole idea of knowing our heavenly dad as father and knowing that we can be his sons and his daughters. Being in relationship with him, kind of coming home to relationship with him, there's great joy in us when we really know that, when we really know that in our hearts. And so that leads us back to where we find ourselves singing Joy to the World 2 days before Christmas, celebrating that. And it also taps back into the question that I left us with earlier about that sense of vague, hopeful expectation or anticipation that many people have in the lead up to Christmas and why it so often falls short of expectations for them. Why is that? Why? Well, I reckon it's because too many miss what the story is really about. They miss that the story is powerfully for and about them, for them, what God has done for them. They miss the real wonder of a real God coming to live as a real human right here with us, the wonder of that. They miss that. They miss God's love story within the reality of that big love story of God that is sort of contained within the nativity story at Christmas time. That bigger story that thrills and brings delight and just has joy welling up in us when we realize what God has done in this. The story that moves Paul to encourage us in one of his letters, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Like, it's like he's going, this is really important. Again, I will say, rejoice. And it's this idea of God comes near. Two verses after that, he says, the Lord is near. Again, there's that connection between being close to God and knowing joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, because he's near in so many different ways. So, know the story and let it bring you joy. Know the story and let it bring you joy. People love, they love the nativity, they love the stable and the angels, Mary and Joseph and the newborn babe. And of course, they love the sheep. Have you seen our joyful sheep out here? There's a very joyful sheep out here that's joined thing. Big smile. Great to see a sheep that smiles. People love that nativity scene. It's great. I heard the other day, and actually, David, I wasn't sure whether you mentioned it in your message the other day or whether I heard something on the radio or whatever. Somebody was saying that just being in front of a nativity scene makes them feel kind of peaceful and calm and all. And that's kind of cool, isn't it, that people would experience that. But it's got to be more than just a mindfulness exercise, a calming space or whatever. There's got to be more to it than that, because you see, there's a reason the angels said the news about the child's birth was news of great joy. We've already said joy's already cool, joy's already great, but the angel announces it's great joy. It's bigger than great. It's great twice. Unspeakable joy, in the words of the carol that we sang before. And did you notice in the reading who the joy is for? Who is this good news for? Did you hear it in the reading? It's for everyone. It's for everyone, for all the people. And yet so many leave this season of such promise and this time of great anticipation, they leave it disappointed, as we've said, because they've missed it. The actual good news that brings great joy, even though it's right in front of them there in that calming nativity scene that they might be having a look at and just kind of contemplating. It's so close, and they can often sense it so close. There's something there. I'm sure there's something there. But they miss it. They miss it. And, if we're talking about the nativity scene, there's something about the angels. We can get a bit too familiar with the angels. We've got an angel up there. Fantastic. There's always angels. Sometimes when the kids are doing nativity scene, you know, the kids are dressed up and they've got kind of, you know, the fluffy angel wings and their little cherub faces and all of that sort of stuff, which is fantastic. It's great to celebrate that and all. But I've just got to say, just wait on a sec, because these are angels we're talking about that come in the Bible reading that we read. These are angels. These are the ones who, just about whenever they appear to people, what is the first thing the angel has to say to a person when in Scripture when they meet somebody? Do not be afraid. Right. Do not be afraid. It's not, there we go. Verse 10 there. Do not be afraid. I mean, the shepherds were terrified. They were terrified. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. These are God's messengers who come from his throne, who come from his presence. The one thing they are not is cute and fluffy. I've got to say that. When we read Scripture, these are large, impressive, very shiny beings. And the first response is, oh, my goodness, do not be afraid. Make no mistake. When God sends his angels to come and personally announce some good news, it's not going to be a letdown like, well, is that all there is? Is that all we got? It's not going to be like that at all. Very much the opposite. I mean, just imagine an angel from God coming and appearing in some of the clouds that we had. Did anybody see the clouds? You know, we had the storm on Thursday. Anybody see the towering clouds that were around on Thursday? They were just amazing. I haven't seen them like that for years. Imagine an angel coming, and that's the backdrop, and the angel comes, you know, in front of the clouds and makes this announcement and says this. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And just imagine if after the angels said that and that the host of angels comes in, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth and all of this sort of stuff. You've got this angel choir and the shepherds are just looking at it and all of this sort of stuff. And then the angels go away. And just imagine for a moment if the shepherds just kind of scratched their heads and went, wow, that was amazing. You know what? I can't remember a word he said, really, but they were awesome. Those angels were really awesome, weren't they? And then they just go back to their sheep, go back to shepherding. Imagine that. They missed the point. They've missed the news. They've completely missed the source of joy that the angel announces. They've missed the Messiah. They've missed the Messiah. And actually, they've missed a really vital instruction from the angel. They've missed a really vital instruction. They've missed this bit. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You will find. Go look for this baby. Go find this baby. And then you will experience the joy I'm announcing. You need to find it. Because in finding him, you find a reconnection to the one who made you. In finding him, you will find the one who makes sense of it all, even when it's a little pear-shaped. In finding him, you will find the one who promises to be with you always, right to the end of the age. Even after this life is done, you will find him. Finding him. Really finding our Saviour Jesus brings deep, resilient joy. No matter what else is going on around you, you can know joy if you have found him. Through the ups, the downs, the disappointments, the delights of life, you can know joy if you've found him. And you know, deep down, I reckon that's what people are searching for, even if they don't realize, you know, when their hope rises coming up to Christmas time and everything, they don't even realize this is what they, and maybe even ourselves sometimes, are looking for, us searching for, us seeking when we're looking for these things. Friends, Christmas is a great time to remember, right? It's a great time to remember, to tell and share this story, wonder-filled story of joy to all people around us. People are primed in this season like no other time in the year, I reckon, to hear something of this, to hear a story of peace, a story of love, a story of hope, a story of great joy, a story centered on God with us, the story of Jesus. So over these next days, I've only got a few of them, over these next days, may you know that great joy for yourself. May you know that for yourself. Get in touch with the story, find him. And may you have a chance or an opportunity to share the story, to share the joy that only really comes when we get close to God. And the Christmas story is the classic story of God coming near and us being able to draw near to him. Maybe you'll be able to share that with someone. Someone who may not know exactly what they're looking for, but they know that they're looking. They know that they're looking for something. Maybe you'll get an opportunity to share the story with them. Let's pray, and then I think we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate with the angels. I think that's in a moment with some music. So let me pray for us. Lord God, as we stand or sit here in this place 2 days before Christmas, we pray that we might know the story and see the story in a fresh way, with fresh eyes this year, Lord. Holy Spirit, open us up to that, we pray. And Lord God, help us to see people in our paths, in our circle of friendship, in our families that we know are seeking for something more, Lord, and they just don't necessarily know what it is. We pray for opportunities to share the story that brings hope, the story that brings peace, the story that brings love and real joy to our lives, because it's based on who you are. We pray that this might be our experience this year, that we may not be disappointed with our expectation and anticipation, and that we might help others, maybe for the first time in their lives, to also have those expectations more than abundantly fulfilled. I pray that we might get alongside you, Lord, in the work of your Spirit over these few days and in the weeks after Christmas as well, Lord, to do that. We pray for your strength in that. We thank you for empowering that in that Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, for the gift of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Bless you.